Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Again, of a message titled, Gentle Spirit. I know I didn't give you the scripture early enough, but I hope you have found it. If you have, let's stand out of reverence tonight for the reading of God's Word. A gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge attractive, but the mouth of fools blurts out foolishness. Father, thank you tonight, God, for your word. Lord, thank you for the blessing, Lord, of recognizing that gentle spirit that you have blessed so many with, God, turns away wrath. Let those of us that even battle not being a gentle spirit, Father, rest in that tonight, understanding, God, that it turns away anger tonight. And God, I'm recognizing also that a harsh word stirs up anger, it stirs up wrath. Father, let us be peacemakers tonight. Let us be reflections of your glory. Let the very picture of Christ be manifest in our lives, Lord, that we would go out and truly reflect your glory like never before. Speak through your word now. Let your spirit's power, let its presence, Father, move as only you can. And we commit this to you and ask it all in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. First part of 15 again, a gentle answer turns away, now it says anger in this, but most of you understand, know the version, it says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up, that says wrath, but many versions say anger. Same principle, same picture right there, but first thing I want to share with you comes out of that first part of verse 1 tonight, it is this, be a gentle giant, be a gentle giant. Now does that mean you got to be a big person that's gentle? No. A gentle giant can be, in referencing, is what I'm using in the context of tonight, be a gentle giant spiritually. Be a gentle giant spiritually. The older I have gotten, I used to be a person, I would go toe-to-toe with anybody, whether it's an argument or a fist fight when I was younger. And, you know, as you get older, you begin to, you know, you want to argue, and I have recognized something. If you want to have an argument with me, you can push me into one ultimately if you really are committed and you're really desiring an argument. It's going to take a while, but I like to argue. I don't want to say argue. I like to dialogue. I like to talk. I don't really have, I'm not, you know, I'm just not there. I don't have enough testosterone anymore to scream and yell and fight. I just don't, I'm sorry, but I just don't have it in me anymore. Amen? I like to dialogue though, and even when, you know, I know I'm right and you're wrong, I'll continue to dialogue with you until you recognize that you're wrong and I'm right. I know who's paying attention tonight. Those are the ones that went. The others that are continuing to bat their eyelids, no. But a gentle giant can be a 4-foot-tall female that is as frail as, you know, 120 pounds or whatever. A gentle giant is that person that is not in stature I'm referring to tonight. I'm talking about in the spiritual realm. I'm talking about the desire not to be right or not to prove the point, but to be right in what really matters. It's hard as a parent sometimes because I remember at 20 years old, everything was conquering Rome. That doesn't matter what it was. I know that things that are really important to people, I will make important to me. Like, you've heard this statement before. Me putting down the toilet seat at home mattered to Emily. You might laugh, but it's actually serious. I still do it. Anywhere I'm at, the toilet seat is never left up. You can ask anybody in my house. I will never leave it up. Because it mattered to her, and she explained to me, as a female, you do not want to sit down on cold porcelain at night. Period. And I got to thinking about that, and I said, you know what? I wouldn't either. It's happened a couple times in life. Middle of the night. I don't want anything to do with it. Amen? It's like a dog's cold nose on your leg when it comes up to you. Oh, that's a terrible feeling, right? If you haven't experienced that, just come over to my house. It's a terrible feeling. So is sitting down on a cold porcelain toilet in the winter when you're chilly. But it mattered to her, and therefore I actually in my own self could have said, well, that's just foolish. What's your problem? We actually have toilet seats at our house where you can do that right there and they won't fall on you. They do right there. We didn't even buy them. They came with a toilet. Amen. Get the American Standard Champion toilet. Consumer Reports, top-rated toilet. You can't clog it. That's my little commercial tonight for the toilets that are the best ones to buy. I've had to unclog the toilet one time, if I can recollect, and it was because somebody from church brought their little son over there, and he decided to stick an entire roll of toilet paper out. And guess who unclogged it? He did. I made him. But it meant something to her. And as I thought about that, not only did I think about, I don't want to sit down like that, but if it mattered that much to her, how much effort does it take to put it down? And I realized it didn't take any effort. It took me caring about something that mattered to that level with her. If it didn't matter to that level, I don't believe that it would have burned in my mind. If someone is so bothered by something in that level that she was, it's worth someone doing what matters to that level. What if I thought or you thought that it's inconsequential? Well, it matters to them to that level. I'm not talking about, well, would you do this and it doesn't matter. I'm talking about something that really matters. See, a gentle giant's going to realize that if it matters to them, what does the scripture say? As much as it concerns you, live at peace with all men. As much as it concerns you. It's not saying, as much as it concerns what you think everybody else should be doing, live at peace with all men. No, as much as it concerns you. It doesn't take a lot for that, does it? Nice to have a car that can pass people, isn't it? Because when you're going down the road and you've got a 55 or 65 mile an hour zone and people want to do 40, there's just something about that that galls me. It's actually a criminal offense in Tennessee. You know that riding in the left lane on a divided two-lane highway, those left lane riders, it's against the law. You know that? You're not supposed to impede traffic, but yet for some reason in Tennessee, we have had a glut of ignorance that's pervasive in our culture, and it's normally people around my age or older that decide that they want to be the policeman, and they're going to get in that left lane, and they're going to do 54 miles an hour because there's no reason anybody should go over that. And what does it do to people that tend to have that personality like me? It makes me livid. It makes me livid. It pulls the ungentle giant out of me. Because I'm sitting there going, if I was a policeman right now, I would burn you so hard you wouldn't drive for 15 years. Because it's wrong. But yet we can get in these places where we begin to defend hills that are indefensible. You can decide that you want your neighbor not to blow the lawn clippings on your lawn anymore, and you can begin to defend something that's indefensible. All you've got to watch is, what does that show? The neighbor, fear thy neighbor. You know what that show is? It's about neighbors that have killed each other over something that started so innocently and so foolishly. Not being a gentle giant, they wanted to be a person that lived out loud, not in a spiritual sense, but in a carnal sense. And they were going to show the world why what they believed was the way that everybody should do or way should act. And it's so foolish when these things happen. But tonight, as we look at that, a gentle answer turns away wrath, anger. Then the second part of that, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Now, you can call me anything. You can say my mama wears combat boots. Used to be a real bad, you know, offense when I was a child. And you could say all these terrible things to me. I'm really, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words won't hurt me. But you say something bad to the women in my home, and it's over. I don't do well with that. A harsh word stirs up anger. You say something inappropriate to one of the ladies in my home, and brothers and sisters, I will just tell you, I'll get sideways. As a matter of fact, they've learned in the home, if someone says something out of place, they don't tell me until there's no way possible I can figure out who it is. Because I am a protector in a major way. My grandmother, someone said, cursed my grandmother. My grandmother, my mother's mother, was one of the most docile, most sweet, and gentle-spirited people you've ever known. She came home one day crying. I was 17 years old. We were up in Northern Virginia. And I'm like, Mama King, what happened? And this man at a appliance parts store cursed her. Well, I'm going to just tell you, I went down there, and the rest was history. I don't do well with people who are vicious, who are argumentative, who are just mean-spirited, who try to take people who are weaker and precious and then want to tromp and traipse all over them, if you know what I'm saying. You think about Jesus when the disciples are saying, hey, get these kids out of here. He doesn't have time for this. And what is Jesus' response? Suffer little children to come into me, for the kingdom belongs to such as these. Jesus spiritually went, pow. He was defending the defendable, not the indefensible. They weren't really able to defend themselves, but what they was doing is he was showing that, hey, this matters to me. He didn't like Pharisees. He didn't like self-righteous defenders of what was indefensible. Jesus defended, suffer little children to come into me, for the kingdom belongs to such as these. And then what? A harsh tongue will cause trouble. Why will you say what you're saying? Are you going to say it because it's the wrong thing? Are you going to say it because you just want to say it? Or are you going to say it because it's the right thing to do? It is a hill worth defending. A harsh tongue will cause trouble. Are you one of those people that professes Christ and then walks into a store and says, listen, I'm going to show them the what for? Or are you a peacemaker? Are you a gentle answer turns away wrath? A gentle answer what? When they come in there and say, hey, sorry, you know, the milkshake machine's closed at McDonald's. You knew better than to go to McDonald's for a milkshake in the first place, amen? Because there's an app that you can look at now to find out when the McDonald's shake machine is working. Don't go to McDonald's and ask for shake. You're just asking for trouble. If you want to watch the whole reason for that, by the way, the shake machines are made by a company that are a disaster, but they forced the franchisees to buy this ridiculous shake machine. You can watch a documentary on it. I'd be glad to forward it to you if you want to know. I researched the whole entire reason that the shake machines break in the first place. And they've got the franchisees literally by the neck, and they don't have another choice. But these shake machines are notorious. They're actually like the labor force right now. They show up 1 out of 10 times, right, and think they should get paid for showing up. And the shake machines break down, and guess what? A simple service call is in the thousands just to show up. I promise you this. So you can get upset by going and putting yourself in a place where you know you're going to have trouble. You don't want to send me down to a rally with people desiring not to work, but in rallying that the government needs to support them. I can't do that. You know what I can't do? I can't go with my dear friend Dan Brown to the clinics. First time you ever asked me, I said, Dan, I can't go. I know myself too much. I'm a protector. I'm a guardian. And I'm an alpha male. And that would not go well with me, because what would happen to me is I would end up with a boiling rage that would end up being ungodly, and it would end up being wicked. So you got to be very careful about the company with which you place yourself in, because what can happen is, instead of having that gentle answer turns away wrath, you can end up taking a righteous anger and end up operating in an unrighteous way with something that you have a really good platform with which you've got to know yourself well. I'm thankful that Dan Brown can go down the Tennessee Right to Life since 1981. He was going every Friday. These clinics have closed. Last I heard, he was going to Bristol, and I think actually now he's going to near Carbondale, Illinois, I believe. But he's going up there, and he's defending the voiceless. He's standing. I praise God for that. But what I know, church, it would only take a few weeks and you'd have no pastor. I know this. And there would be a terrible headline in the news, because I have a pure boiling rage for people that kill children. I'm sorry, that's what it is. Whether you believe in it or not, whether you believe that abortion's right and that people should have the choice, I'm sorry, but God's creation is not a choice. It never has been, and it never will be in my book. And I know that biblically, what was done to people who did that back in the Bible, I'll stop right there before I get myself in trouble. Amen? Amen. A harsh tongue will cause trouble. Do I get together and dialogue with someone who is in support of that? I've got to be very careful, because my desire to be righteous in my zeal can end up turning into something that's anything other than that. Amen? Again, the right thing done the wrong way is the wrong thing. So we've got to be very, very careful. You've got to know yourself. I know myself well, very well. I can't get out of a traffic light when someone acts foolish. Why? Because it's not going to end up well. When someone acts foolish, do you know what I have to do? I have to look that way when it's going on this way. Why? Because I know myself well, and though I may have a platform that is defensible, I've got to be careful, because you can get to a place of indefensibility very quick. That harsh tongue will cause you trouble. Someone who is responding inappropriately, amen? You can end up in a very dangerous camp really, really quick. Again, another reason that you either have to have good brakes or a good motor in a car. So you can either get away or you can slow down and get back. Recently, I was on, somebody else was even driving, went in a car and going down the interstate. Somebody just loses their mind. Have no idea to this day still why this person lost their mind. This was an adult male, probably close to 60 years old, that completely came unglued. Had no idea why in the world that the person was coming unglued. But brothers and sisters, we cannot control other people, can we? The only people you can control is yourself. Thankfully, finally, we had tried to get away so fervently and ardently, and this person came up next to that I finally had to roll down the window and look over like, are you crazy? When he saw me, his whole demeanor changed. I think he maybe thought there was a woman or a female in there that he was going to prove whatever the point that this person wanted to prove. But you've got to watch people, because, brothers, listen, it is a dangerous place in our culture right now. And defending even a defensible position can cost people their lives. A harsh word, a gentle answer, turns away wrath. A harsh word stirs up anger. I'll tell them, right? Roll down the window. You don't do that where I came from in Miami, Florida. You know why? If you remember, in Miami, Florida, all you had to do was have a rental tag. You know that's why they don't have rental tags? Because of Miami, Florida. And you know why? Because in Florida, if you had a rental tag, they were coming up next to you and just shooting you and killing you. Anybody remember that? That's why they did away with rental tags in cars, because of what happened in Florida during those years in the 90s is when it happened. These weren't people that were provoking anything. These were people who literally were completely unglued and unhinged for no apparent reason at all. You've got to remember something. These things that we deal with on any given day are not rooted in godliness and righteousness and justice and truth. It's rooted in a demonic. We know what the enemy is desiring to do, right? Steal, kill, and destroy. My brother and I were talking about it at about 4:30 this morning. Steal, kill, and destroy. We know the footprints of the enemy, because his desire is to steal, to kill, to destroy. Why is it important to pray over your children? Why is it important to pray for their future spouses? Because the enemy's desire is to steal, to kill, and destroy. We have a limited amount of time with which we can do that, don't we? Because we have to sleep. He doesn't have to sleep. So what is he able to do? Prowl around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Someone recently was talking to me about a dream and said, you know, do you think this could be what's going to happen? I said, you know what? I wouldn't even delve in that realm. You know what I'd do? Just pray, and recognize you can control you, but you can't control others. So you just control you, and you do what you're supposed to do. Trust God's word. Trust what God's going to do. And ultimately, you cannot make anyone do what you want them to do. The only person you can do is yourself. Sometimes we have to break fellowship with people because of 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and other various verses. Bible says, if you've not left mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters for my sake, you can't be my disciple. Does that mean I should leave my family? If they tell you, either out with this Jesus stuff or we're done with you, I would say, I love you, good to know you, I don't want this to happen, but I will bless you with your request. because I cannot silence who I am as a follower of Jesus Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. If you have any other questions, feel free to give me a call. But you are pushing me to make a decision that you will lose in every single time. What do you mean? Because I'm okay with not having fellowship with you, but I will not break fellowship with my King. I actually was talking to somebody recently, sadly, how I've watched codependency become such a chronic issue in believers. If your spouse dies, you should be sad. Yes. If your spouse dies, it shouldn't ruin your life. I'm sorry, but it shouldn't. And I'm not even talking about my son in this. I'm talking about older people that I deal with that are so codependent. When that spouse dies, they come completely unglued, and we've even seen cases where they take their lives or they stop living. That should not be, church. I'm going to tell you how God broke that for me. He left me in bed for 4 years when my wife had to take my children and leave the house and leave me alone every day. What God was having to do is say, listen, you need nobody but me. I've blessed you with a family, but that is not who you are and what makes you who you are. I'm what makes you who you are. Speaking with somebody recently about that, they were like, how did God break you from that? He broke me by putting me in a place where I had no one but him. Where I sat in that wheelchair, I laid in bed with no one. When I went out on the back porch one time and went down my sidewalk and my wheelchair flipped over sideways, I laid down there in the grass, had forgotten my phone, didn't have my cell phone, and I laid down there, flipped over sideways, laying on a Monday morning in the grass with my wheelchair right there. I got a chair, but it's laying sideways. And I thought, what's 1 Thessalonians 5:18? And all things give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you, was the first verse that came to my mind. And guess what it did? I said, well, Lord, it ain't raining. Dead serious. I said, Lord, it's not raining. Thank you, Jesus. And I laid there and got me a nice sunburn on the right side of my face. Until somebody finally came later in the afternoon and found me laying there. Like, what are you up to? Well, I just had nothing better to do than lay out here in the yard. I mean, you know, it's the only way I could get down on the ground, so I just decided to flip over here and hang out a little while. What are you up to? Another time I went to Nashville with a friend, took my wheelchair, got going out the trailer. He was 60 years old. It flips over backwards. He says, what are you doing? I said, well, I just figured I'd try to get off the trailer a little easier for you. What do you mean, what am I doing? The wheelchairs flipped backwards, straight up in the air. I was holding the... It was quite humorous. He says, what are you doing? I'm just waiting on you to pull the trailer out so I can pop the wheelie back down. There's all of these situations that we're going to face, and we can do one of two things. We can do this. A gentle answer turns away wrath. We can look at it from a spiritual perspective and a spiritual avenue. Or we can curse our blessings. God, why me? Why would you allow this to happen? Be a gentle giant. Be a gentle spiritual giant. Again, you can be 4 foot tall and 100 pounds for that matter. And you can be a spiritual giant that surpasses the strongest, bigger, most weightiest weightlifter on the planet. If you use what God gives you and use it for God's glory, God will bless you. And then again, a harsh tongue, it's going to cause trouble. You think somebody said something critical of you? Why don't you go and let that be clarified? Do what Matthew chapter 18 says if somebody offends you. Go to them. Do what Scripture says. Don't let the prince of the power of the air, airwaves, amen, distort the sound waves so that you or I hear something that was never spoken in the first place, getting all bent out of shape. You've destroyed their character with everybody with something you thought you heard when in reality you never heard it in the first place. Prince the power of the air waves. Go clarify. Give someone the benefit of the doubt. Do what I'll do. I don't know. There's no way they'd have said that. I know there's no way in the world they'd ever said that. That's what I do. And the reason is 9 times out of 10, it wasn't what we thought they said. Amen? Allow the Spirit of God to take control of those initial emotions and things, because what will happen is, you're mad as a hornet at the driver in front of you, right? What in the world's wrong with them? It's a 95-year-old person who's about 3/4 blind. That's why. It's not a person that's brake checking you. They didn't even know you're back there. They're just trying to get home. They're doing 25 in a 75-mile-per-hour zone because they feel like they're doing 120. Give them the benefit of the doubt, right? Don't start flashing them, screaming, hollering, and honking the horn, even though that is the inclination of the heart. There are the people that do that purposely. But don't allow the enemy to use something that has no eternal value, no eternal meaning, to get us bent out of shape, because what it'll do is it'll rob the gentle spirit from us and bring us to a place of pain, suffering. And then verse 2, and we're done. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge attractive, but the mouth of fools blurts out foolishness. Third and final thing tonight, use your words wisely. Use them wisely. I tell the kids all the time, listen, you got to stop talking. You're almost out of words. You've talked so much that you're literally about, Raylan, I think she's working on her 30s right now. She's about 30 to 32 years. I said, listen, Emily, by the time she's 5 years old, she literally will have no more words left. She's going to have like Reese Witherspoon and Walk the Line. She's going to have the laryngitis. It just came on because she used all of her words. She's out. Amen or oh me, Lord. But use your words wisely. Use your words wisely. Watch what you say, how you say it. Because what can happen is, if you don't have a spiritual filter, you can really do major damage. The same we talk about Scripture with the tongue and how the power of the tongue is this very small thing, but how a ship with a rudder, it moves that entire thing. Somebody one time, when I talked about the kids and said it was a sentence, she didn't realize the attorney had said, remember, she said, you're going to have them for life. So that was a life sentence, right? You get it? Attorney talking in law enforcement, I was a police officer, your life sentence. They got offended by that. They said, you seem like you don't want to have kids. What are you talking about? They were all worked up all week long, angry as fire, thinking that I was looking at the children as a prison sentence. I said, you know what I used to do? I was a policeman, put people in jail. An attorney told me I'd have those kids the rest of my life. It's a life sentence. Oh. Well, I was all worked up. I was all upset. And see, those are the things that when the first place we go to is thinking the worst, we can allow ourselves to be a prisoner of something that was meant completely unintentionally, and we can end up, hey, this happens in relationships where it destroys them. There's people that I've dealt with and right now still deal with who've not talked to family members because of a word that was said or a sentence that was said that had no meaning at all, that they took and said, I'm done. You think that's God honoring? You think that's God glorifying? Or do you think spiritually we should be a person with a gentle spirit that sees things and says first, you know what? I bet that's not what they meant. Because I don't think they would do that. When someone comes to me and will say, you know, this person really hurt me, and I say first, do you really believe that they would do that to hurt you? Do you believe someone would really truly want to hurt you? Like, there are people like that. I've known them. I know people currently like that. They hurt people because they have the ability to hurt people. But does a normal person, especially that's a Christian, do they have a desire to truly just hurt someone for no reason? I would hopefully believe you'd say what I'd say. Probably not. Were they going to do it inadvertently or accidentally? It can happen. But I don't believe people's intention is to go about hurting people. So that's why us, as sometimes the recipients on the other end of those things, can look at things objectively and say, would they really do that to hurt me? I don't think so. So let's step back. Let's come off the hill we're trying to defend. Instead of looking at everything as an offense and trying to get wound up, hurt, so that we have another excuse to get mad and leave a church or leave a neighborhood or leave a spouse or leave a family, let's step back and let's say, you know what? Let's give them the benefit of the doubt right now. Maybe go to them and say, you know, I heard this and it hurt my feelings. Did you mean to say that? And I think you're going to get what I've seen so many times when I've had people do that. But the person goes, oh, I never even said that. No, this is what I said. Oh, that's what they said. then what you end up doing is being a person with a gentle spirit. You end up being a person with that gentle answer that turns away wrath, turns away anger. And you're not the one with the harsh word that stirs up, that provokes a greater anger. And then again, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge attractive. Think about the spiritual wisdom. What we're saying right now is going to make knowledge, wanting to find out truth, is something that you would desire to be a part of instead of being an emissary or a tool with which the enemy brings division or hurts relationships, feelings, friendships. And the mouth of fools blurts out foolishness. Don't fall into that camp where you end up blurting out foolishness that brings greater destruction, greater hurt, and does anything other than build the kingdom. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, what are you tonight? Are you kingdom building? What does that mean? Are you tonight desiring to grow the kingdom? Or are you a spiritual drama queen or king? Are you an attention magnet tonight that needs attention? So you're the one that's always got the drama that everybody wants to come and talk. Oh, you'll never believe it. You're going to get me in the other direction because I have no time for that, church. I'm serious. I can't stand. I guess it was when I was young. The girls used to go. The girls would always run to the bathroom at break at the schools I'd go to, and they'd go in there and talk about whatever had happened. It used to make me insane crazy because there was all this drama that was happening all the time. Maybe it was just up where I lived in Bristol. Was it like that, y'all, around here? Okay, a few other people. Okay, y'all too. So there's been a few of you. The rest of you guys were fortunate. You didn't live in an area like that. Actually, inside, you're probably going, oh, I was a part of that. Amen or oh me. Oh, oh me. But what happened in those instances was things that caused division. It caused trouble. It caused pain. It caused heartache. And it caused hurt. For whatever reason, growing up, when I saw that, it made me not want any part of that. That's why I don't like church politics stuff. You know, churches where their greeting time, just turn to the neighbor next to you. Why? They realize that people that are 10 feet apart can't stand each other, and they don't dare want to get them in the same zone because the preacher's trying to keep a big blow up from happening because these people here and there don't like each other. That's why I'm thankful at Longview. We go around, we love everybody, because if you've got an issue, let's deal with it and get it over with. Or, by the way, just excuse yourself and leave, right? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. Amen. We don't have time for division because it's not. I don't want any part of division. Many of you are here because you don't want a part of division. You don't want a part of the old order of things, meaning back in history when people were allowed to cultivate relationship breakers, destroyers, and people were complicit in it instead of saying, wait, let's fix whatever's wrong. Let's deal with it. Because this is not good. This is not of God. Let's be a person with a gentle spirit that unites people. Let's be in a spirit of oneness together. Because we're all doing the same thing in the first place. How in the world can we say that this is a picture of Christ when this side doesn't like that side? How many churches you seen? Well, the young ones sit over there and the old ones sit over here. I know this is true right now in churches. Many of them that I know right now. This part doesn't like that one because they think this part's hindering or trying to bring in the stuff they don't want, and these people feel like they're trying to do, right, change everything. And isn't that awesome here that young, old, and indifferent, everybody's together. It's one spirit. We are serving one spirit, one church body, the body of Christ universal. And tonight a gentle spirit is a spirit of God that what? Brings a uniting picture of what Christ Jesus called us to be. What is it? It's on our money. E pluribus unum. We are many united under one. The God that we love, the God that saved us, the God that tonight calls us as we get ready to pray and leave here tonight to go out there and make disciples, teaching them everything I've commanded you. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, tonight for your word.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life. First, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.